I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 a.m. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Power Hub Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium.
Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder and was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we know where we're going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that
hey,
was
Anthony, isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
That's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
On fire. Dalai Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained. Conservative paranormal talk. Big on God. Big on guns. Our God can beat up your God.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Do that announcement again, Doug. Well, first, don't forget, you can listen to Ghostly Talk on your cell phone or VoIP phone or telephone, other kind of telephone.
Yeah.
All you really have to do is dial area code 605-475-8590. And then when the nice lady asks, you type in 555-1081 followed by the pound sign. You can listen to Ghostly Talk on your phone if you happen to be
That's
driving.
Automated now, too, by the way. You'll be hearing that later.
Oh, excellent. And then also, it's Mike Donaldson. Donaldson has gone missing, according to Scare, S-C-A-R-E. He was going from Cullman, Alabama, to Dalton, Georgia on February 4th, driving a red 2002 two-door Ford F-150 pickup. Mm-hmm. He's about 5'10 or 11, about 220 pounds, reddish-brown hair and a full mustache and beard. And he usually wears a baseball cap. So if you see somebody matching that description, driving that kind of car around, looking for Dalton, Georgia, somehow get in touch with Scare. And one way to do that is to go to...
Get in touch with the authorities, I think.
Well, if you go to... Yeah, they've got all the right... The Birmingham, Alabama police and all that stuff number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go to myspace.com/anomalous07, that's A-N-O-M-A-L-O-U-S. 07,
mm-hmm.
And it's right in their blog. It's right now. It's the top blog entry right there on their page.
It's one of our own guys. If you do, I mean, any information. Will
Paranormal
help,
investigator,
yep.
According to Scare. So get in touch with Scare if you see somebody. If you see Mike driving around aimlessly, and also keep him in your thoughts and prayers.
Definitely.
Now on to more ghostly talk because I am so excited about this next segment.
Oh yeah,
Robin Pyatt Bellamy was born in 1961. Are we supposed to be saying that? Usually women are touchy about that. Robin Pyatt Bellamy was born in 1961 in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and now lives in Toronto, Ontario. Currently in demand for speaking engagements, Robin also teaches for the Continuing Education Department of the Toronto District School Board. She's a former director of Toronto Ghosts and Hauntings Research Society, as well as the chief financial officer for its parent organization, PsyCan. Which is the Paranormal Studies and Investigations Canada,
mm-hmm.
for its first year. A genealogist for over 30 years, she also does seminars on historical research, and I happen to know that she's also written some books.
Oh, yeah.
And her website is www.robinbellamy, that's RobinBellamy.com, which is also linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Robin, welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you. I love you guys.
We love you.
A hell of an intro. Thank you.
Well, we met the very first time we went to Mothman Festival, which was our very first.
Was it the first?
Festival
the first one we went to?
The
first Mothman.
The first one we went to, which was the third, I think, Mothman.
Yes. Yeah.
And but you had been going before that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had gone the previous year.
Yep. So.
So you're veterans like we are.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, no, the Mothman Festival in particular, it's kind of become that, because there are people and groups and things like that we've noticed over the last couple of years that have just kind of become fixtures there, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just you come there, it's like, oh, you know, like, hey, Robin's going to be there. We haven't seen Robin in a year, so it'll be cool to bump into Robin, and the Prodigy Paranormal people will be there. We get to talk to them, and of course, like people like Jeff Wamsley, who's, you know, the coordinator for the whole thing. He's a dear friend of ours. So, you know, it's always like a reunion of sorts, like a lot of these conferences and things like that are. And that's one of the big things.
It really is for me because I'm from the area, so I get to see family, too.
Oh yeah, that's a big thing,
which
right
is
there.
Awesome. And you know, you wrote a book on the history of the Low Hotel. And,
I guess.
And I was just absolutely fascinated by it. The families and the pictures. It was just an amazing. And it's small. It's very light reading and very interesting. You really dug into that. And I really enjoyed that. I think we were like it was the very last few moments that we were all at the conference or at the festival.
Which year is this?
Just this past year.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, you've got to read this."
Uh-huh.
So I stuffed it in a bag, and oh my gosh, when I got home, I was like absolutely floored. Fantastic work.
Thank you. That really means a lot to me. It's kind of been my baby. I've been doing this for a couple of years. I even got to spend on site at the Low doing research, and it's just a total part of my life now.
Well, yeah, and this is, I mean, again, this book, you know, you read this book, Doug.
Yes.
You know, you never gave me that. You never let me borrow
it. I'm sorry. I will bring
Doug's
it and I'll add it.
Doug's real good for that.
Well, I happen to be going...
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello. How are you?
I happen to be going through all my stuff, so I will get all the stuff that belongs in the Ghostly Talk Library back
oh,
to the
yeah.
Ghostly Talk Library.
Oh, yeah.
Including the books you borrowed 2 years ago?
Including books I borrowed 2 years
Excellent.
Ago. Yes.
Well, you, obviously, you did do, you know, this is a lot of research that went into the Low Hotel itself, Robin.
Right, and the people associated with it.
I mean, if you can give us, I don't want to, you know, we don't want to give the whole thing away, but I'd like to hear.
Yeah,
maybe
tease us.
Yeah, please tease us, because.
Well, first, I need to warn you about something.
Yes.
I've been a paranormal investigator for several years now, and every once in a while, a case attaches to me, and things start happening, like my house catches on fire, or things go flying across the room when I'm talking about these things. One of them is Waverly Hills, of course. I did that last year, and it's just been all over me. And one of them is the Low Hotel. Every time I talk about it, something weird happens. So if we happen to lose each other along the way, that's what happened.
That's no problem.
That's not a problem. We've had that happen before.
We've
yeah.
had equipment blow up. We've had sound cards melt down. We've had cables go. You name it, it's happened to us. So if something blows up, we'll put a penny in it and make it work. Believe me. So, yeah, Low Hotel, though.
Fortunately, not all of my cases are like that. But this one is a little different. When I research a supposed haunting, I do a lot more than just go sit there and wait. You know, a lot of people are actually just ghost chasers. They go wait and see what they can see, and that's all fine and good. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to call yourself a researcher, you've got to do the research. So in addition to what the witness has reported, I also do intensive background checks on everything from the geology to the genealogy of the people that lived on the spot.
Okay.
And that's basically what this book is about, the Low Hotel. The first part of it is the geology and the Aboriginal people and the role Point Pleasant played in that. And it briefly covers the first battle of Point Pleasant and Cornstalk's Curse. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Cornstalk's Curse.
Absolutely. 100%. I was even on
probably
the...
Probably been a victim of it.
I was even on the episode of Weird U.S. about Cornstalk's Curse.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was all by accident.
I was a blithering idiot, but, you know, at least I was on TV, so.
Well, everybody gets to play themselves once in their life.
Yes, yes, and I got to be my own blithering idiot.
You did it well. You've
yes,
perfected
yes,
it over
yes.
the years.
I was convincing.
So you did the research. My God. All right, all right.
Bonnie is really biting her tongue right
wow.
now.
Wow.
You know?
But you did it, you actually...
Well, I love setting her up for that.
And thank you.
But you again, you said that you went into the research on Cornstalk's Curse. I mean, in regards to the hotel, how all this stuff plays into the story of the hotel.
Did it help living, you know, being from the area and then moving from the area? Or did it help, you know, so you already had some idea? Or was that actually something you had to get over? Like, ooh, I've got to really look into this. I can't just... You know, write down what I think I know from
yeah.
people talking. So was it a blessing or a negative that you were from the area?
A little of column A and a little of column B. Mm-hmm. I had some basic knowledge, I think everybody does, from their high school history classes about the revolution and the corn stock and that kind of stuff. And I, of course, knew a little about the geography. I knew that the rivers met and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that was a plus. But I really had no clue how deep the roots go in that area. Not just genealogically speaking, but the weird stuff that has happened in the Ohio Valley is just phenomenal. And Point Pleasant, of course, is right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know a lot of the obvious weird stuff that's happened there. I mean, there's a whole festival
around.
Yeah,
it's usually about ghostly talk, too. Not lately, you know, after hours, we're pretty weird.
Oh,
but so and weird, again, that centers around me.
Yeah, and so. Weird U.S. found me, so weird, weird, weird. It always is. But no, Robin, you're talking about the history of the land there, because it... You know, it's first of all, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a really nice place.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But you talk about, like, centuries that people would go there and then not want to be there, and then people would go away, and then people would go back, and then not want to be there, or not be allowed to be there, and then people are like, no, this is our land. And it's got this really bizarre history that I don't think you find almost anywhere else. I mean, it was just amazing, because it's such gorgeous country that you would think that people would really want to, like, you know, put up a Starbucks right there and say, everybody come to this. But that's not how it happened over time.
Wow.
And it still isn't happening. I mean, the town just has not prospered, even in the 200 and some years it's been there.
Right.
And it's perfect. It's on the verge of, on the confluence of two rivers. Mm-hmm. One of them is a major, major travel route.
Mm-hmm.
The ground is wonderfully rich for farming. It's a nice level spot, which is uncommon in West Virginia. And you would think would be just, you know, best place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not prospered.
I don't want to take away from that, but I do have a question concerning that, because I did notice coming down the freeway towards Point Pleasant, I mean, this is just my perception and stuff like that, Robin. And I'm not very well versed in nuclear technologies, but you do see these two giant smoking nuclear, you know, stacks. And I mean,
they're actually coal plants.
Thank
what
you.
What you're seeing is the cooling towers. They're not nuclear. I promise.
They're not. They're okay. Wait. So, wait.
They're not nuclear.
They're not nuclear.
No, they're not.
Well, then I may. Okay. In 2004, when we were at the Mothman Festival. I remember we got there. This is the first year we met you, Robin, I believe. We talked briefly. But I remember we came there, and Jeff's like, oh, yeah, you guys want to speak? And we're like, what? You know, huh? We don't speak. We only do a radio show. What are you talking about? We don't talk at all. And he's like, no, you want to speak for people. And we're like, okay. And that was one of the questions these people, you know, they asked us. And they're like, so what do you think the Mothman is? And I'm like, well, I think that means we were driving down there, and I saw these two huge, you know, would appear to be nuclear power plant stacks. And I'm like, well, you got these huge nuclear power plant things down here, right? Two plus two, quick.
And
so I'm totally wrong.
Everybody rolled their eyes.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, I don't get it.
Well,
it's
called learning. I got to do it, too.
Yeah.
So I'm totally wrong on that, and I'm glad you blew me away on the air, too, Robin. I'm serious.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
No, I need that stuff, because, I mean, yeah, I didn't know that. It's a coal plant, and those are just exhaust stacks, you said.
Yeah, it's called a cooling tower.
A cooling tower. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. I stand corrected completely. Doug, the floor is yours.
Well, it still spews pollutants up into the air. You can see that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think you're confusing that with, as far as Mothman goes, the chemicals that were in the ground of the TNT area.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who think Mothman is some kind of mutant because of those chemicals.
Yes.
So I can see how you would get the two crossed.
Well, yeah.
Because right now, the coal plant, it's an electric plant, right? It makes electricity?
Right.
Sounds like it.
So
right.
So the electric plant is a very, very visible, you know, thing that is polluting the atmosphere, or is, you know, like, active.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, chemicals laying in the ground, you tend not to think of them because it's sort of out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't leap to mind, like, oh, yeah, this thing was used for, you know, the TNT area was used for, you know, chemicals and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, you know, that could have done it.
Well, okay. So, all right, we figured out why the economy there isn't so good, I guess.
Well, it is
a small town.
But I think it should be better. Because it's gorgeous.
It's a very beautiful town, but it's a small town. I mean, we talked about that. We were like, you know, there really isn't too many like chain places here. You know
no,
I mean?
There aren't.
I mean, when you see that's like, you know, unfortunately in this country nowadays, when you drive from city to city, you can tell the places that are getting money dumped in them because they all look exactly the same, pretty much now.
Yeah, they're starting to.
They are. They are all starting to look the same exact stores, same logos, even the the strip malls they build, because that's unfortunately what this country's turning into now. It's just even the strip malls look exactly the same. They have one company that makes them now, apparently. They monopolize the market and build these strip malls, and they all look exactly the same. And you don't really see that in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. You really don't see that. I don't even think they have a strip mall there.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We'd have to drive around more than just downtown then.
You do, because there is a strip mall.
Okay, I'm corrected again.
It has four
strip mall.
Wow. See, that's not that. Again, that's not very big.
I love Point Pleasant.
Yeah, I'm liking it more and more. I'm willing to take only four-store strip malls, Robin.
I really am.
Yeah, as opposed to what we have here where we live, it's ridiculous. But you know,
you're gonna have to let me give you the tour.
Please, yeah. You know what? We should do that for the Mothman Festival this year, Robin.
I think people should just sign up for that. You know, we'll be like, Robin is giving a tour of Point Pleasant and the surrounding area, so. If you want, just sign up.
And Doug and Scott will be yelling and screaming about how the capitalist society is trying to take over Point Pleasant. But, no, I mean, that actually would be a good idea. Robin, if you're game with that, we'd like to do that maybe. Have you just kind of...
Sure, no problem.
What better tour guide
I'm
to have?
I'm for it.
That sounds cool. There we go.
I like that. I like that idea.
Now, but again...
Well, there's so much about Point Pleasant that the people that go to the festival just don't get to see. Because it is very contained. It's in, a two-block area.
Yeah.
And then out at the farm, and... You know, people don't bother to look around and get to know the area, which is part of the reason I wrote this book. It's because there's so much more to the hotel than the hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the fun things that I discovered was that there have only been three owners of this hotel. Two of them have been named Homer.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Homer. Two of them have...
The first two owners were both named Homer.
Wow. What's the owner's
Homer
name now?
Homer Smith and Homer Lowe.
Who's that?
Rush. Yeah.
Where's the name? Those are some very obscure names.
Yeah, all of them.
I guess Homer isn't anymore with the Simpsons.
Well, now that the Simpsons has come out, but pre-Simpsons, Homer was an odd name.
Yeah, it was an odd name. And, yeah. Well, and you know, there is...
I know this is getting really wild.
This is getting weird, okay? Go ahead, Doug.
I want to ask... Okay, I don't remember this in the book, but I remember this at the... And I know you're not going to answer, which is going to be an absolute perfect cliffhanger.
Because we still love to get
people to go to this festival, because I love this festival. It's in my blood.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to get people to go to the festival, but I have to ask Robin, because if anybody knows, I think she might know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anybody won't tell us, it'll be her.
Okay.
Which
That's
is
some
perfect,
fantastic journalism there,
perfect,
by the way.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. So she hopefully she won't start crying, though.
Okay.
Tell me everything you know about the other Mothman statue.
I actually didn't know there was one.
Good cover answer. I love it. No, I'm only kidding. just last year.
Where the hell is this going, Doug?
At the last Mothman Festival, I started hearing about the other Mothman Mothman statue.
Okay.
Meaning not the one that was done and put in the you know, center of town.
Yeah.
But the other one.
Is that the one with the chaps on?
The first one. Well,
what are you talking about?
Yes, that was the Mothman's, uncle or something. Yeah.
Robin, I got to say, I don't even know what he's talking about either. To be honest,
I can't believe you guys were at the same festival I was at, weren't you?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
I wasn't
but
there this year.
You need to go.
Well, okay, enlighten myself and Bonnie and Robin about this.
I have no idea. All I know is that I started hearing about the other Mothman statue.
Okay.
And it was evidently done a long, long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. I believe they were trying to date it pre-1967.
Really?
Or 66, 67 when the Mothman was, hanging around.
Well, that was a long time ago. Was it carved out of stone or something?
Out of wood.
I mean,
from what I understand.
Robin, do you have any info on this at all, Robin?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess it's something.
Sorry.
There you go. There's your new book.
First I've heard of it.
All right, that's it. There's going to be an addendum to the book, The Other Mothman.
The Other Mothman Statue.
How do people get a hold of this book? Because you know what I would love to see.
The one you're going to write about the other Mothman.
The one you have presently written about the Low Hotel. Because what I'd love to see is I would love to see people go. Is it on your website? Go to robinbellamy.com.
It is on my website.
I would love.
It is on my website. There's also a few copies available at the hotel, and there will be more at the Mothman Festival.
Which is perfect, because I would like to see people go to robinbellamy.com, get this book, read up on it, go to Point Pleasant, stay at the Low Hotel, and get the experience.
Bring your own ice.
Bring your own ice, though. Yeah, the ice machine.
The ice machine's broken.
Yeah. You have to ask for ice. It's kind of creepy. But the rest
of
it's really cool.
The thing is 100 years old, guys.
Well, try telling that to Doug in the middle of the night when he wants ice for his diet Pepsi.
I was jonesing, Robin. I was really jonesing.
Walmart is open all night.
That is true.
Yeah, but Doug will drive to one 50 miles out of his way.
You know,
that's a whole different story.
When we got there, I had to go to the Walmart in Athens. It totally sucks, but...
Why? There's the road.
I'll tell you all about it next time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll take up the... It'll take up the
it's really a story. Oh, my God.
It'll take up the last half an hour of our segment. We don't want that.
Your website... Is it break time?
Yeah, it's break time. Thank God. Poor Robin.
Your website is robinbellamy.com. I want folks to go there. And we'll be... Just go to break.
Ghostly Talk!
Hey, Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Staring kiss that soothes my pain. Good out in the darkness. Radio, look no further. Look at Live365.com and search the Paranormal Radio Show. Hosted by Tommy Golden. Sponsored by Middle Tennessee Ghost Chasers. And search the Paranormal Radio Show talks about all things on the dark side of paranormal. So tune in live on Thursdays and Fridays from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Central Time Zone.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Boy, I've never, I swear, Doug.
What?
I've never seen someone savor every last drop of a beverage in my life.
Oh, Dougie does. And I hear
you sat there for a solid 20 seconds and held that bottle upside down into your cup.
I needed it. I needed
that thing is drier than the Sahara now.
Yeah, there's nothing left in here.
I'm loving it.
But I'm glad you guys are much more composed now.
Yeah, yes, we are composed.
A little bit.
Back.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we are talking with the lovely Robin Bellamy about the Low Hotel tonight in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. We kind of were talking about the history before there was like the meltdown before the break. which a flood of memories came in through Doug and just put him into mayhem, I guess.
Yes, I did.
You guys do that to me all the time. Every time I'm on, you do that. Because last time we were talking about naked ghosts.
That is true.
And right, that was my fault.
And that's comedy gold. You cannot do anything but laugh hysterically at something like that.
But, yeah, I did break down because I was remembering. Now, here's the thing. Bonnie, you and I went to the Low Hotel last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
I was Sean smart and I stayed
Sean
home.
Yeah, I think you
and
were.
And Elmer. Sean.
And Chris.
And Chris met us there.
And they all met us there. And we had an absolutely lovely time. And that is...
But not the first night.
No, the first night was not lovely. I was, driving to and from Athens. For no reason.
You might as well just tell the whole... briefly tell the whole thing.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
All right.
Because you don't want me to get
going
again.
We'll have to go to break again.
Yeah,
that.
And how many breaks did
you
prepare?
Yeah, we don't have enough breaks to...
So
I didn't take into effect the meltdown factor of the show.
Exactly. So, but we had an absolutely fantastic time. And Robin, you go in the off season. You go also for the festival, right? But you also were
right.
You had been there several times before, and then you got the idea to actually dig in and get the history and put it together in a book. Mm-hmm. And so what's it like? I know because I was there. What's it like in the off time when the festival is not happening?
It's very, very quiet.
I agree.
And it's not because there are also lots of other people there in the off season too. It's not just a Mothman thing. They stay busy all year long, but it's a whole different atmosphere. Everybody's very quiet. They come and go quietly. There's not a lot of laughter and talk in the hall. it's a very strange experience in the off season.
And but it's gorgeous in the Low Hotel. It's absolutely beautiful. And
I do find that in the book too. So a lot of the pictures from my personal collection are in the book, as well as some historical pictures of the ads for the hotel and the original bars in there and several other things.
Let's talk about the ghosts of the hotel.
Okay.
Can we do that, Robin?
Sure.
All right.
I know personally of 3 reported ghosts in the Low.
Okay.
And that's what the book focuses on, is those 3 particular ghosts. And one of them is the one that's made famous by Boston Rob. He claims to have seen her dancing to no music in the, what do you call that little porch thing over the entry?
Mezzanine.
Ooh.
Yeah, mezzanine.
Wouldn't it be a mezzanine?
The mezzanine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked hard on that one, and eventually think I have identified who that might be.
Ooh. Can we say?
Yeah.
Can we say, or do we have to? I don't want to leak too much stuff, you know.
Right.
But how far are we? How far are we able to take this, Robin?
Well, I'm not going to tell you anything more than it's a family member.
There
okay.
We go.
And there are reasons why. Not a family of mine, but a family of the owner.
Okay.
And there are reasons why she dances.
Interesting.
Really? I'm interested to find out why she dances.
It's not that kind of dancing, Scott.
Yes, no, there's not a point.
Why is it assumed that I thought that already by every... Because, you know, Rob, not only you, but these other two look at me in the studio and are like, what are you talking about, Scott? What dances are you talking about?
And we sound just like that, too.
Yeah, that's what we sound like when we think together.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear in my brain.
But no, there's no pole in the center of the mezzanine. But
actually, I think there is.
Well, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to have to take a look at that.
It is the ghost of Tina Turner.
Yeah, everybody come to the Low Hotel and have a look at the pole in the mezzanine.
Yeah, private dance.
Scott will be sitting there.
He's sitting there with
a handful of ones, ready to go. There you go. Wait, September 2008, I'll be there.
But the mezzanine level is that's right now where there's like a lounge area there, isn't there? Isn't it like where you can sit there and just relax and visit and chat, and it's gorgeous there.
Sometimes they do breakfast up there, or corporate meetings, or something like that too. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful, and the view over the street is just fabulous.
The
hotel was built initially so that the rich people stayed along the street. And the workers, traveling salesmen, bargemen, and stuff like that, stayed in the back of the hotel because it was believed that you had to see and be seen, and you could only do that on Main Street.
Okay.
Interesting.
And it's still set the same way.
They put us in the back?
They put us in the back.
Yeah, we're always in the back.
Okay, you bunch, you're in the back.
Actually, we were in the basement in the back.
Pretty much.
Like, there was, like, laundry machines and stuff next to our beds and stuff when we stayed there. We didn't understand that.
I know, I didn't get that part. They said, put a quarter in the dryer if it shuts off. I was like, okay.
All right, yeah, well, no problem.
Whatever it takes.
Now, you said there's 3 ghosts, and that's the first one,
right.
Obviously.
Ghost number 2 has been seen quite frequently, and this is supposed to be a child that rides a tricycle up and down the hallway on the second floor.
And that's the one
I've heard about. That's the one that I remember hearing people say that they've seen and or heard of. And how come some are reported more often than others, do you think? Because I
wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah,
I do think that there are some ghosts that only come around for certain occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the case with the woman dancing and with this child, I think those are just attached to the hotel rather than an occurrence.
Well,
so you're likely to see both of those more often.
Let's take this into account also. I mean, and this isn't to doubt the validity of anything, Robin, but I know I've heard personally about the little boy, the little boy on the tricycle story from there, and I've heard that several times from other people. Right?
I have too.
And we've talked about this several times in the show, Robin. You know, if somebody's coming there expecting to see that they may actually see it. I mean, it may not always be paranormal. You see what I'm saying? What do you think about that, Robin? Do you think it's naturally every time people are actually seeing something, or maybe it is their mind sometimes?
Well, there's 2 facets to that. One is, yes, I think people can imagine things, but the actual truth to that is you should be able to clearly see this.
Okay.
This isn't just some filmy something that you catch out of the corner of your eye. This is something that people have actually looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Has shape, has mass.
Oh, I mean, this is a solid figure, the little boy on the tricycle then.
Right.
I mean, he's
well, relatively solid.
Relatively solid. And people have seen him just riding through the hallways of the little hotel.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
And I originally wrote this off as one of the current owner's grandkids.
Okay.
Because they do bring their families into the hotel, especially because it's a family-run business, and they all bring the kids in, and they hang out while mom or dad is working. Uh-huh. So I thought, okay, this is one of those kids. And also because the age of the hotel is older than the invention of the small tricycles.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So it didn't make sense to me that there would be a tricycle apparition until I did this research. And this also identifies who that probably is. The book identifies that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And that's really kind of getting down. I mean, again, you're doing the research work on this, Rob. We said this. You said this, you know, 45 minutes ago. You know, it isn't always about going and just waiting for something to happen, or you're waiting to see something, or waiting to hear
right.
something, or whatever.
Right.
I mean, there. If you want to be a real researcher, and we talk about this, and this comes up all the time, where you know, if you want to research, you have to go out there and actually research and try to pull these things together and try to see if you know one dot connects to the other, so to say. And this is a good example of you know of that. By the work you're doing, Robin.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're going to understand the phenomenon, you have to understand where it could come from.
Oh, yeah.
I like to think of myself as a ghost profiler.
Okay.
So who could it be? Why are they there? What draws them to that place? That kind of stuff.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate on that, too, and this has been coming up a lot, just in our private conversations, too. Because there's people out there that say that there is no proof that history has anything to do with a haunting or a ghost or anything like that. And this came up just not, I think it came up on the air not too long ago too, Doug. And I find that just, there's few things that I will like really argue about when it comes to the paranormal, but that's one of the few things I think is that when somebody says, I don't see any correlation between history as far as a haunted place and haunted activity, everything has to happen as a result of history, right? Ghostly talk happens as a result of history. We, for some reason, we keep showing up here every week and doing this show because we are familiar with it, and it's something that we put together. There's history to it, right? No, by no means.
Well, also,
go ahead.
The issue also gives you a pattern. If this has happened more than once, you can trace back the history of the reports and find out when it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying right there is I have to argue with that.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
My gut instinct is that there's a direct link between history of a place or of an object or of a person and an associated haunting and reports of hauntings.
There has to be a reason for
that's
it.
My that's, gut instinct.
There has to be something that made this thing happen. I mean, I don't know if it's really happening or not. I don't think any of us do, really. But people are reporting these things. They're reporting the same thing. They're seeing a little boy on a tricycle, for example. We're hearing this over and over again. Well, why? Well, you have to look back and... Well, it's just happening then. Okay, you know, the universe was created. It just happened. There's no history to it whatsoever. It's just there. We know nothing. What do you do then? I guess there's no research involved at all, Robin. I mean, that's according to that opinion, there's no research that needs to be done at all. It's just happening. Just deal with it.
Wow, do you think that's lazy?
That's the difference between a ghost chaser and a ghost researcher.
Right.
Ghost chasers are thrill seekers. And that's perfectly fine. If that's what they're in it for, I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to call yourself a researcher, you got to do the research. One of my favorite things is recently there was a haunted plasma TV for sale.
What?
And supposedly, yeah, it was like eBay or one of those things. And supposedly the ghost of this southern preacher was appearing in this TV. And apparently he gave his name. Well, you know, it took me less than 2 minutes to discover that person could not possibly be who's on that TV. First of all, they didn't exist. They're not in any census. They're not in the place that they're supposed to be. They're not. Their name doesn't come up in any Social Security death index. That person does not exist.
So you sure it just isn't stuck on the Bible channel or something like that?
Well, I don't know about the haunting itself, but you know, it's fairly easy to debunk if you just look a little bit.
No, wait, it's a plasma TV.
And an image came on the plasma TV.
A plasma
here
TV.
Is who I am.
Well, we're talking about, you know, right. We're talking about history and stuff like that. That plasma TV doesn't have too much history. I don't think. I mean, isn't the plasma TV a relatively new invention? I mean, I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, the correlation of history and stuff like that.
That's why you have to look at the person involved. You know, he has a history, supposedly. If he existed, he has a history.
Okay, and you looked this up, and there's nothing there at all. You looked, I'm sorry, this was looked up by someone else. They researched this, and this person never really even existed?
I actually did the research, and yes, that person never existed.
Okay. And then,
so it's a baseless
content. It's on eBay, so somebody's going to buy it no matter what.
Someone will buy it.
Yeah, somebody will throw up a couple grand to buy that thing. I mean, they'll have a nice TV out of it, at least. Hopefully it still works.
Well, you know, that's my big beef, I think, with the whole paranormal industry, and it has become an industry, and that is that too many people are being sold on the chasing and the thrill, not enough on the history.
Yeah, I have to agree.
You know what's interesting?
Oh,
I have a feeling I
know. Doug just folded his arms and his face got cold.
No, this is fascinating, actually, because I have a feeling that what we're talking about actually ties into the third ghost, because the third ghost, it's who I'm thinking it is, you've actually had experience with.
I have.
So
I am the witness in the book.
Yeah, so even though, you know, when you go to the Low Hotel, it's...
Hell of a segue, Doug.
I thought that was pretty good.
Beautiful segue.
You go to the La Hotel. You've been going there for however many years, and you love it, and it's in your blood, and it's in a figurehead. It's a centerpiece of the town that you were born in, and so it's got that, you know, that home feeling for you.
Yeah.
And so you go. You stay at the Low every year, and then even in the off season. And you go there, and you're right. You're looking into the history. You're talking to the people who own it and the people who've stayed there, and you're just thoroughly enjoying all this stuff. And you go, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and you ran into you weren't thrill seeking or anything like that, but you were just doing what you do normally, and boom, you ran into what had to have been a ghost.
I can't think of what else it could have been. I walked into my room, and there was a man sitting there. I had a rather large suite. It was a three-room suite. And I walked in, and there was a man standing in the sitting area. And I thought, because there was a festival on, that he was just in period dress and part of the entertainment. Because he was very real-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him and asking what he was doing. I mean, you see somebody in your room, your first thing you say is, "What are you doing here?" And
actually, I say other stuff than that, but I can't repeat it on the air.
Well, but the Low isn't that kind of place. You don't expect break-ins and violence at the Low. It's just not that kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm looking for the boat that's coming in. And I said, what boat? And he said, there'll be a boat down there at 9:00 tomorrow morning. And I said, who are you? Because at this point, I thought the guy was nuts. And he said, his name was Captain Jim. So I thought, okay, and I really looked at him, and as I did, realized he had no legs.
Uh-huh.
He was standing partially behind a chair, and from the knee down, he had no legs.
Oh, my God.
So I backed up and went to reach for my video camera, because I thought, here it is, this is the career maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around to grab it, and I turned back, and he was gone. And I was standing in the only doorway.
And isn't that so typical?
It's
so typical.
Captain Slippery Jim.
Captain Slippery Jim.
But he... And
I
he
was so mad.
I felt like a stripper.
What? Okay, where is your vibe?
You guys got me on the pole. Now it's over with. I'm done.
Hotel down the river. But no.
Isn't the Double D's down the street?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The Harpo's down the valley. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But no, the this Captain Jim was waiting on his boat.
Apparently, and of course, I was a little shaken up after that, so I went downstairs to get coffee, and I was talking to one of the owners, and she said, well, there's no tour boats or anything due, and she made a couple of phone calls, and, you know, the city manager or whoever didn't know of any boats due in, so we just kind of left it off and decided I'd had a very long day.
Well,
it's the festival. I work hard at the festival.
Yeah, that's what
we
all do.
I thought, okay, you know, I've made all this up, I'm nuts, I'm going to bed.
Mm.
I came downstairs the next morning at 9:00, and there was a boat.
Oh.
Now, keep in mind that this is not a port. This is an amphitheater.
Yes.
And this boat was tied to the amphitheater.
I'm wondering, you know, speaking of boats coming in, and that, what year was that, Robin, that happened?
3 years ago.
Was that 3 years ago? We were talking about the Mothman Festival earlier. Speaking of boats that came in, because we just got a couple minutes here, and I don't know if you heard this or not. From this, you know, this last year at the Mothman Festival, Doug and I, we were kind of like the MC guys. We were kind of the host of the thing down there for all the speakers and stuff.
I remember
which
well.
Which we had a ball. I had the microphone with Robin, and me and her had all kinds of fun. She was working me to death because she pointed out everybody. She's like, oh, yeah, you way up there a mile away for Scott to run up all the stairs at full speed. Go, yeah, you. I want to talk to you. So here I go. But it was hilarious because I remember it was James Willis was talking. He was like the second speaker of the day. And I don't know if you saw this or not, Robin, but you mentioned boats coming in, and this makes me laugh so hard. James Willis is out there speaking, and here comes this giant barge coming in. It wasn't a barge, but it was a large boat, like one of those paddle boats, you know? And it was a privately owned boat. And the guy pulls up, and James is trying to speak on this stage. You know, crowd of people in the amphitheater, guy speaking on the stage, big mixing board sitting there with me sitting behind it. And this guy just pulls up, and that's fine. I mean, he has to dock it. That's totally cool, right? But he just sits there and leaves the motor running, like on full blast. And I'll never forget, because I just turn around, and I'm staring at him, right? And I kind of come off the stage and look. I come down to the boat and I'm staring at him there. And he's like, he looks down at me. And meanwhile, James is like just cracking up, laughing on the stage because he sees me doing this. And I look at the guy. He finally says, "He's like, yeah, what's wrong? What's the problem?" I'm like, there's a stage with all these people here, man. And you want me to turn the motor off?
Yeah.
No, I want you to turn it up. I want to drown everybody out. That was my fond memory of this last year. But yeah, boats do come in there.
Yes, they do.
But Captain Jim, maybe that was Captain Jim's boat he was waiting for that year, though, Robin.
Well, I don't know if that particular one was the boat, but it may have been some kind of historical repetition that he was doing. And there is a picture of him, by the way, in the book.
Really?
Which is amazing.
Well, not. I mean, you weren't able to snap a shot of him in that situation.
No, not the ghost. The actual living person who I believe was Captain Jim.
So you researched back and were able to find something that, I mean, did you do this research based on what you remember seeing, like as far as what he looked like physically, his facial features and stuff like that?
Partly. I went with the uniform to get what period it was from, you know, because they dress differently for every 10 years or so.
Okay.
And then I cross-referenced boats that were on the Ohio River and their crew members. And then I took all of the ones named Jim and deleted all of them that were Point Pleasant natives because they wouldn't have any reason to stay at the hotel.
Uh-huh.
They would have just come home.
Okay.
And came down with just one guy.
Well, there you go. And that is the third ghost we're talking about.
Yeah. There's some other weird stuff, too. There's music in the ballroom, and there's a maid that leaves things around. But, yeah, those are the big ones.
And I know a lot of people, I hear a lot of people talk about the ballroom, and the ballroom is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it's
so
beautiful. I got to go up there for the first time this past year.
Yeah.
It's beautiful in there.
Yeah. Is that where you had your demonstration?
What? My demonstration?
Didn't they demonstrate?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they had the Frank's box up there.
Yeah.
There were some people doing some work with the Frank's box up there, Robin, and we went up there, and unfortunately, we were so dead tired, it was kind
of
like...
At the end of the festival day, it's really difficult.
Yeah, it's hard to maintain. Amber actually, I think she actually crashed. She was just done. But, yeah, they were doing some work with the Frank's box up there this year, but it was my first time actually seeing the ballroom, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very nice to see that. So, yeah, it's a beautiful hotel, though. I mean, every year we get to go there, and I always like to take a stroll through there and just kind of look around and see things. And one of these years,
things about the current owners, too. They're really good about letting you just come in and look around.
Yeah, they seem pretty open to that. I mean, whereas, you know, you walk in most hotels, they're like, can I help you? What do you want? You know, which is...
They look at you, shiftily.
Well, you know...
The owner will sit there and talk to you all day.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I have to say, your website is www.robinbellamy.com, RobinBellamy.com, and it is my sincerest hope that folks will go and get your book and plan a weekend trip to Point Pleasant. First of all, Point Pleasant is fantastic. The Low Hotel is fantastic. They'll be going in knowing the ghost stories that you've collected and the history behind them. I think that's what a wonderful weekend trip for folks in the spring or summer or even the fall or even during the festival.
Miss a live broadcast? feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.